Common Cause New York issued a press release yesterday with a quote from Executive Director Susan Lerner, which said the state appears to have prioritized protecting Sam Hoyt over protecting his victim from sexual harassment. Sam Hoyt, who until recently was the governor's pick to head up a Western New York Economic Development Office, is embroiled in a sexual harassment scandal in which he is alleged to have grabbed a woman and sent her nude photos, among other things. But this isn't Hoyt's first run-in with sexual harassment. Starting in 2003, then Assemblyman Hoyt had an affair with a 23-year-old intern and was sanctioned for it by then Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. Joining us now is the Executive Director of Common Cause, Susan Lerner. How are you, Susan?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
So your statement regarding Hoyt was in part a response to that earlier incident, but there's more to it than that. Tell us.
Well, you know, I think the real issue is how did this individual end up getting a taxpayer-funded promotion?
Yeah, $157,000. This is a big job. The head of the Western New York office of Governor Cuomo's economic development arm.
Right. And what should employers look at when they decide to take someone and give them a even more powerful job when they have shown that there are some questions about their judgment as to how they use power based on their behavior in the past?
What questions do you have about this case?
Well, really the question is, what we're seeing is a situation where somebody who did abuse a power dynamic, it was then promoted to a even more powerful, more prestigious job with a huge taxpayer-funded increase. And, now we are seeing allegations that the same kind of abusive conduct, which is based on a power imbalance between a powerful man and a woman, is coming up again. So, we should be asking questions. How are these decisions made? What kind of judgment is being used? Because what we see as a society is a pattern where men who have abusive instances in their background, that conduct is glossed over for other qualifications, allegedly, and the abusive conduct is never really stopped on a societal level because it's excused and the abuser's career is often not impeded by the conduct. But of course, the woman who was abused has her career interrupted.
Getting back to the Cuomo administration overlooking Hoyt's intern scandal, there are people who would argue with you saying that, well, in 2011, when Hoyt was promoted, there were different cultural mores than in this now post-Weinstein world. Does that matter? How would you respond to that?
Well, exactly what I said. Those mores allowed abusive conduct to continue and not to be addressed. So those mores are what we are reacting to now, and there should have been a stronger reaction socially to all of these instances, and then we would not have the social conflagration that we're having right now around the Harvey Weinstein situation, because it has gotten so out of control with so many individuals that there's this huge backlash now. If it had been addressed on an ongoing basis by society, then we wouldn't have the Weinstein situation.
So what do you recommend that the executive and the legislative branches do to address these kinds of issues going forward? How can they change?
Well, I think it is an attitude change. It is to take the allegations seriously, to have there be consequences to the person who is accused. They should not remain in positions of power over women until the situation is cleared up, if they're completely cleared. And certainly, I think we have to have strong and clear guidelines from a personnel point of view. The state is a large employer of people in positions of power over other employees, whether they're elected officials or appointed officials. There need to be clear standards, clear guidelines with clear consequences.
Jay Cope is not commenting on the case. If what the woman alleges is discovered to be true, what does Jake Cope mete out punishment, or do, is there are their opinions advisory, and should they remain advisory if they are?
Well, you know, Jake Cope does make advisory opinions. You know, the advisory opinion, I guess, in this instance, goes to the executive. But remember, Susan, in this particular instance, the woman has filed a civil lawsuit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the courts will also have a hand here. But it does show the inherent weakness of our current ethics oversight system. Jake Cope, as we pointed out from the moment it was first described, is a limited oversight body, and we need a much more effective watchdog that is truly independent of both the executive and the legislature. Nevertheless, Jake Cope needs to act quickly, do a thorough investigation, and answer questions regarding this instance.
So I'm sure you saw this, but the Buffalo News is reporting today that the plaintiff had reached out to Jake Cope, but after Sam Hoyt told her they wouldn't do anything for her, she stopped returning their phone calls. Does that matter? I mean, there are people who might throw that up and,
you know,
and point to it and say, well, she's not legitimate.
I'm not really in a position to comment about the ins and outs of any one particular case. Jake Cope and the courts are going to decide that. But I would certainly hope that anybody who has a complaint would continue to cooperate and be sure that there is a full investigation. Nevertheless, many women do feel that when they come forward, their complaints are not taken seriously. That's a matter for policy. And, you know, again, in this particular matter, I'm really not going to comment.
So it should be pointed out that back in 2008, or rather 2004, the Assembly did finally enact a policy barring fraternization with interns. And I'm reading this from the New York Times, but by the time the policy was put into place, the woman in the Hoyt matter, this is the intern, was no longer an intern, and that timing most likely saved Mr. Hoyt from more serious punishment. It seems as if the legislature never fails to protect its own.
Well, that's an ongoing concern, Susan, that I think you and I have talked about many times in the past. There's no question that the policy they set going forward was a good policy. But as we've commented over and over again, as these scandals break, the underlying culture is not what it should be. And that's a HR issue that needs to be addressed. And as more instances are revealed, as more complaints are made, as there is more public discussion, hopefully that will get us as a society to the place where our elected officials, our appointed officials, the entertainment industry, every industry realizes that allowing supervisors to abuse women just decreases the efficiency and the effectiveness of any human operation.
So if people are listening to you right now, Susan Lerner, and they say, oh, come, you know, it was I was just squeezing her butt. You know, I was just teasing about, you know, going out on a date or seeing her naked. What would you say to them?
Well, I actually saw a really terrific takeoff on that on social media. I don't remember who it was. And they said, let's substitute knifing men for I just squeezed her butt. I would just knife men a little bit. I was just kidding around, you know, when I stuck the knife in just an inch, right? What's the problem? It's a joke. You substitute any other kind of conduct, and it immediately becomes apparent that it's not so much of a joke.
Executive Director of Common Cause New York, Susan Lerner, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO. 2.5 million members speaking with one voice to ensure a better life for working men and women. Information at nysafl-cio.org.